pranams at the lotus feet of our Lord Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dearest Swami, elders, brothers and sisters and guests, in behalf of the International Organization of the Christmas Committee, I have the pleasure of introducing tonight's program. And it will start with a drama by the International Children's Group, followed by two speakers, which will be followed by a divine discourse by our Divine Master, Sri Satya Sai Baba, the Christmas of 2001. At this time, I'd like to review the drama briefly in hopes that those who didn't receive a copy might get added understanding with an introduction. But briefly, Audubon, a wise man, a Zoroastrian of ancient Egypt, who had seen signs in the heavens pointing to a coming of a divine being. He plans to cross the desert to Judea along with three friends, the other three wise men. He rushes to meet his friends in near faraway Babylon, but stopping to perform acts of kindness and service prevents him from joining his friends, the three wise men, who reach their destination and pay homage to the divine Jesus. The play follows Audubon through his trials and tribulations. Bear witness to his many acts of kindness along the way, and finally brings him to an end of his quest, an unexpected encounter with the divine being he has been seeking, bringing Audubon's story to a conclusion. In a parallel story, Darush, an Iranian devotee of Bhagavan, arrives in Prashanti Nilayam. After his own trials and tribulations, and finds to his acute disappointment that his divine master, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, has left his physical form. Father Francis, a kind soul, tells him the story of the wise man, the fourth wise man. And Darush, too, finds his way to reach the goal of his own quest for divinity.
Sai Ram, brother. Do you mind if I disturb your solitude?
Sai Ram. No, it's okay.
Pardon me for accosting you like this. I'm Father Francis. I've been noticing you these past 2 days in the Western Canteen. You look so sad. I'm a counselor. I counsel people about dealing with their problems, and I just couldn't help coming up to you.
No one can do anything about my problem. I have come to Parthi at last. Too late. And now Swami is gone.
I am so sorry. Keep in mind that there are many, many others all over the world who are missing Bhagwan's physical presence, just like you.
You don't understand.
Tell me, my friend. Help me understand.
My name is Darush, and I am from Iran. I have wanted to come here since I first heard of Sai Baba 25 years ago from a dear friend. Then I read a book about him, which only solidified my yearning to come to India. Being of Zoroastrian faith, my father turned a deaf ear to my pleadings that Swami was Ahura Mazda himself in human form. I asked for his blessings for the journey, but he would have nothing of me wandering after Indian gurus, and implored me to stay true to my faith. When my father passed on, I again pursued my dream, only to have my wife suffer a minor heart attack. Knowing her equally ardent desire to see Swami, I could not go until she recovered. After her long recovery, we saved money, and a third time our hearts soared with plans to leave for this abode of peace. Again, our fate kept us from our heart's desire. A close friend, like a brother, beseeched me for my help. His business had suffered a heavy loss, and he had to cover the expenses of his daughter's upcoming wedding. I could not refuse his plea, and gave him the money he needed instead of coming to Swami.
No wonder you're so disappointed.
At long last, we have again saved every penny we could, and now, after all these years, we are finally here, only to discover that our dearest Lord has left his divine form. I am unworthy of Swami's grace. I don't even deserve to catch a glimpse of the Lord's enchanting form.
No, no, not unworthy. I'm sure Bhagavan has brought you here to this divine abode to shower his blessings upon you.
I don't understand.
I'm reminded of the story about the fourth wise man who set out to pay homage to the divine child, Jesus.
Father Francis, Father Francis, I was looking for you everywhere.
Sai Ram, I am busy at this time, Ricky. I am talking to this gentleman here. Little Ricky's father is very busy with the Christmas decorations, and I volunteered to keep the boy company. So, coming back to what I was saying, the story of the fourth wise man will help you see your situation in a very different light, and will surely lift up your spirits.
Please, tell me the story.
Oh, a story. Can I listen to it too, please?
This story begins in Persia, in the year 1 BC. Artaban was a Zoroastrian magi who had studied the ancient scriptures which prophesied the coming of a great spiritual master.
Father, none of the other magi believed the prophecy of the ancient magi of Chaldea. They predicted a new star would arise in the sky as a sign pointing the way to the coming of an anointed one this very year. My fellow magi, Kapar, Melchior, and Balthazar and I have researched the ancient scriptures. We saw with our own eyes the sign of two huge stars that came together to form a fish, the sign of the Hebrews. We also saw a brilliant new star, which filled the sky with light, then suddenly disappeared. Tonight again, the two stars are to merge.
These are amazing signs, my son.
My three magi brothers are scanning the sky at the ancient temple of the seven spheres in Babylonia, and I am watching here. If the star shines again, they will wait only 10 days for me at the temple, and then we will together set out for Jerusalem to worship this promised one who shall be born King of Israel.
My son, it may be that this sign that has appeared in the skies will lead you to the prince and the mighty brightness, or It may be only a shadow, and whoever follows it will only have a long pilgrimage and an empty search. But it is better to follow even the shadow of the best than to remain content with the worst.
I believe the sign will come. I am ready for the journey. I have sold my house, my possessions, and bought these three jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl to offer as a gift to the king.
These precious gems are of astounding brilliance and are worthy offerings for a divine child.
Oh, Father, wise one, will you not go with me? Together we will celebrate finding the prince who is so worthy to be served.
Son, I am too old for such a journey, but my heart will be with you day and night. Go in peace.
Oh, look! Jupiter and Saturn are merging together. They roll together like two flames merging into one. Can it be? There! There it is! I see a blue spark, now an orange flame, spiraling upwards. Now these flashing rays, a white star has filled the sky, brighter than any star I have ever seen. This is the sign. The King of Kings is coming. I must go to meet him.
See baby Jesus.
The Christian tradition speaks of three wise men, not four. Did Artaban join the other three?
Yes, Artaban did go to meet the other three magi. Artaban chose his swiftest, strongest horse, Vazda. He left quickly before morning because he knew that he must hurry if he were going to make it to the Temple of the Seven Spears before the other magi left. Vazda galloped through mountain passes and flat plains. They passed ancient Persian cities and temples. Finally, it was the night of the 10th day, and they came to the city of Babylon.
That was a very long ride. They must be very tired.
Yes, but Artaban knew they still had 3 hours before they would reach the Temple of the Seven Spheres, and they would have to be there before midnight, or the other magi would leave without him. So he pushed Vazda on until suddenly the horse sensed something strange and slowed down. Then she just stopped. Artaban slid off her back and tied her to a tree near a canal with water. He decided to investigate what Vazda was afraid of.
Maybe it's a cobra or a crocodile.
Let us see.
This poor Hebrew skin is yellow. It must be a fever. He is cold, and his arm is limp. He must have passed on. There is nothing I can do for him.
Who is it? Who are you?
What was that? A voice? How can I stay to help this dying stranger? What claim has this unknown man on me? If I stop even for an hour, I will not reach the temple in time. They will leave without me, and I will lose my chance. But if I leave now, he will surely die. If I stay, he might live. God of truth and purity, guide me in the right path, the way of wisdom, which only you know. I am a Zoroastrian priest, astrologer, and physician. As a physician, I will mix you a healing remedy. God of truth and compassion, heal this soul. Heal this soul.
Who are you? Why have you brought me back to life?
I am Artaban, a magi from the city of Ecbatana. I am going to Jerusalem in search of one who is to be born king of the Jews, a great prince and deliverer of all men. I must not delay any longer. The caravan that has waited for me may leave without me. Here is all that I have left of bread and drink, and here is a remedy of healing herbs. When your strength is restored, you can find the Hebrew homes among the houses of Babylon.
May the God of Abraham bless you, who have been so compassionate, and bring you success in reaching your destination. I have nothing to give you, but only this. I can tell you where you must find the Messiah. Our prophets have said that he will not be born in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem of Judea.
Come on, Vazda. We must ride as if we are flying with the wind. No one is here. They have gone. I see no caravan in the distance. What is this? A note from the other magi? We waited past midnight and can't delay any longer. We leave to find the king. Follow us across the desert. How can I cross the desert alone? I have no food. And my horse is too tired to cross a desert. I must return to Babylon, sell my sapphire, and buy a camel and provisions for the journey. Only God, the merciful, knows whether I shall not lose the sight of the king because I stopped to show someone mercy.
He shouldn't have wasted time helping that man.
And let the poor man die?
No, he did the right thing and saved a man's life.
Let us see what happens.
You have come from far away. Are you in need of some water?
Crossing the long desert on that camel, I must have looked like a lone ship on a sea of sand. Certainly the desert is the land of death. I am grateful to be here. Thank you, my friend. Now at last, I will surely find the king here. Even though I am alone and later than my brothers. This is the place the poor Hebrew told me the prophets had spoken of, and here I am sure I will see the rising of the great light. I had better inquire about my brother's visit and find out what house the star led them to. The village seems deserted. Do not be afraid. I am on a pilgrimage. I'm looking for three men who are not from this land, wearing clothes similar to mine. Have you seen them?
Yes, three men from the Far East appeared 3 days ago. They talked about a star that had guided them to the place where Joseph of Nazareth was staying with his wife and newborn child. They brought the child rich gifts and prayed over him and showed him great reverence. They disappeared as suddenly as they came. We feared the strangeness of their visit. We could not understand it. Joseph of Nazareth took the babe and his mother and fled away that same night secretly, and it was whispered that they were going far away to Egypt. Ever since, it seems as if there is a spell upon the village. Something evil hangs over it. They say the Roman soldiers are coming from Jerusalem to force a new tax on us. And so my husband and the other men have driven the flocks and herds far back in the hills and hidden themselves to escape. Let me bring you some food. It is plain peasant food, I'm afraid. Not what one like you is accustomed to.
This weary pilgrim is grateful for the food you so willingly offer.
Are there any babies here? Let me see.
I am alone in this place, and I am waiting to give this jewel to the smart captain who will leave me in peace.
March on! March on, I say. There are no babies here.
O God of truth, forgive me my sin. I have spoken a lie to save the life of a child, and two of my gifts for the King of Kings are now gone. I have spent for man that which was meant for God only. Will I ever be worthy to see the face of the king?
Because you have saved the life of my little one, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he give you peace.
I must leave now, and I must continue my search.
Why were the soldiers killing the little babies? That is so horrible.
King Herod, who was king of that area, had heard that a king of the Jewish people was going to be born very soon. He did not want someone else to become king in his place, so he gave orders for all male children below 2 years in the area in and around Bethlehem to be killed.
It's like King Kamsa killing Krishna's baby brothers and sisters, isn't it?
You are right.
But Artaban has only one precious gift left for baby Jesus. I hope he finds him in Egypt.
Our fourth wise man journeyed to Egypt, and New Babylon, and along the Nile. He could find no trace of the King of Kings and his family. Finally, Artaban reached an obscure house in Bethlehem, where he sought guidance from a Jewish rabbi.
Honorable Rabbi, I am a Magi from the land of Persia. I am on a pilgrimage in search of the King of all kings. Wherever I am led to go, I seem to miss him.
Maybe the problem lies in where you are looking. The prophecies of Israel tell of many sufferings of the promised Messiah. Most importantly, my son, the king whom you seek is not to be found in a palace, nor among the rich and powerful. If the light of the world and the glory of Israel had been appointed to come with earthly greatness, it would have appeared long ago. The supreme light for which the world is waiting is a new light, the glory that shall rise out of patient and triumphant suffering. The kingdom, which is to be established forever, is a new kingdom. The king you seek is a monarch of perfect and unconquerable love. Dear Magi, I cannot say how the peoples of the earth will come to acknowledge this Messiah and pay homage to him. But this I do know. Those who seek him will do well to look amongst the poor and the lowly, the sorrowful and the oppressed.
Rabbi, your words have touched my heart. I know them to be true.
After the visit with the rabbi, Artaban searched in places of the poor and downtrodden. He visited famine-stricken cities and fed the poor. He lived in plague-ridden cities where he could give solace to the sick. He visited prisons and galley ships with slaves, and wherever he traveled, he gave clothes to the needy, healed the sick, and comforted the prisoners.
Sir, the centurion requests your presence at his home. His daughter is in pain, and he has heard that you have healing hands. He will pay you handsomely, sir. Will you please accompany me?
Certainly, but first I must take care of my brothers and sisters who cannot afford to pay me. They have been waiting long for me, and their need is great.
Yes, sir, I will wait.
Dear sir, thank you for coming to our lowly homes. We heard at daybreak that you would be coming this way.
The Lord has sent you to us.
Kind sir, my child is very ill.
Please help us.
Sisters, I am here to serve you. Please remain where you were. I will come to you without fail. Sister, tell me, how may I help you?
My child has been ill for days, kind sir, and she moans and groans all night long.
Crush these herbs, make a potion with warm water, and let her drink it morning and evening. She will be well soon.
The Lord of us all look upon you with grace, noble sir. I have nothing to offer you but this blessing. My husband goes looking for work every day, but finds none on most days. We have little food.
This will tide you over a few days. Have faith in the Lord. He will provide.
You are an angel from heaven.
Please help me, sir. All the joints in my body are aflame with pain. I cannot sleep at night, nor do my work during the day.
You will find relief soon, sister. Make a paste of these herbs and apply it to your joints every night. In a week, you will be sleeping like a baby.
Your hands are blessed by the Lord, noble stranger. May his countenance shine upon you always.
What ails this child of yours, mother?
His stomach, sire. He cannot eat without pain. He is growing thinner and thinner.
Thirty-three years had passed since Artaban had become a pilgrim. His hair had grown white, and his eyes, that once flashed with a spiritual vision, were dulled, like embers simmering in the ashes. It seemed as if he had forgotten his quest.
He didn't forget. He kept on looking. Otherwise, he would have gone home to his father. I am sure he will find Jesus. Swami will let him find him, because he is such a good man.
You are right. He never really stopped looking. Once again, a call in his heart led him back to Jerusalem for one last time.
I have all but forgotten my last gift for the king. Let me have a look. My... this pearl has become even more luminous. Look, it reflects rainbows of light. Perhaps it has absorbed the warmth of this old heart. I have searched for the king and his family up and down these crowded streets and hovels, time and time again through the years. But something calls me here for one last time. The Jewish Passover. That is why the streets are so crowded. A storm seems to be gathering. That is unusual for this time of year. I feel some kind of unrest in the air. Where are you going?
We are going to a place called Golgotha, outside the city walls, where there is to be a crucifixion. Have you not heard? 2 famous robbers will be crucified, and with them, another called Jesus of Nazareth, a man who has done great work among the people, and is loved and revered so dearly. The priests and elders have said that he must die, because he claims to be the Son of God and King of the Jews.
This name rings familiar to me. Could this be the king whom I have followed over land and sea? Could this be the king that has arisen and has been cast out by his own people? My heart beats so. Could he be dying even now? Oh, the pearl! Oh, God of truth, your ways are stranger than the thoughts of men. And it may be that I shall find the king in the hands of his enemies. Perhaps I could offer the pearl for ransom before his life is taken. Let me go with you. Take me to this king of the Jews.
Have pity on me and save me for the sake of the God of purity. I also am a Zoroastrian. My father was a merchant of Parthia, but he is dead. They have seized me for his debts to be sold as a slave. Save me from this, which is worse than death.
Oh no! Once again, I am faced with this choice. God, have mercy! Is this an opportunity or my last temptation? My mind is dark with this confusion. One thing only is clear. To rescue this poor girl would be a true deed of love. And dearest God, this love which you have given in my heart is the light of my soul. Never has it looked so luminous. This is your ransom, daughter. It is the last of my treasures which I have kept for the king.
We must run.
I have nothing to fear. I have given away the last of my gifts. I have no more hope of finding him. My quest is over, and I have failed. But I am at peace. I have done the best that I could do. I have been true to the light within me. This was the best that was possible.
Are you alive?
Artaban. Artaban.
What is that voice?
Not so, my lord. When did I see that you were hungry and feed you? When did I see you as a stranger and take you in? When did I see you sick or in prison and come to help you? I have looked 33 years for you, but I have never seen your face nor ministered to you, my king. I brought gifts to offer you, but have given them all away.
Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these your brethren, you have done it unto me.
Lord, now I know it was you who were with me throughout my life. You have received my gifts. My journey has ended, and my life is fulfilled.
Didn't he? I knew it. I knew he would find Jesus.
An amazing story.
So you see, my brother, Swami has been with you throughout the ups and downs of your life, and he has brought you here now to his abode of the highest peace.
I still miss him, though. I know it is too late for that, but I wish I could see him and touch his holy feet and talk to him.
That too is possible. In 2007, at the World Youth Conference, Swami said that if we concentrate on him for just 11 seconds, he will appear to us in our own living room. Then again, Swami has appeared to individuals in many different places in his physical form, even after his Mahasamadhi.
I wish he listens to the prayer of my heart and grants me his darshan.
Swami will, just like Jesus did. You have to not give up, but keep on praying.
Let us touch his holy shrine in reverence and pray for the fulfillment of your heart's desire.
Om Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodayat. Om Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodayat. Om Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Appreciation shows it all. Thank you very much. At this point, it is my great pleasure to introduce to the audience Rita Danielli. She became a devotee of Sri Satyasai Baba in 1968. Soon after, Walter and Elsie Cowan had established the Satyasai Book Center of America. She volunteered there her services. And while attending university, she worked her off hours for Elsie and Walter Cowan. She also was a Balvika's guru during this period of her life and taught the local Tustin Sai Center children. After completing her bachelor's degree and teaching credential, she taught science for 15 years, at which time Swami told her to return to graduate school and obtain a master's degree in marriage and family therapy and to become a family therapist, which she did, and worked as a therapist for some years. At which time, Swami told her once again to return to graduate school and receive a dual master's degree in school psychology and school counseling. Upon completion, Swami directed her to take a position as a school counselor, which she did and continues to this day. In her spare time, she continues to serve at the Satyasai Book Center of America. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Rita Danielli.
offer my salutations at the feet of our beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, I pray that my thoughts and words be pleasing to you. I pray that you think through me, speak through me, feel through me, and love through me. Greetings and Holy Christmas, respected elders, brothers, and sisters. It is with great love and respect that I share my story with you today. When I was a very little girl, I used to sit on my back porch and I would pray to God and I would ask him the same question over and over. Why? Why, God? Why are we here? But it was not until my first trip to India to see Swami that that question was answered for me. Our family had left our church and searched everywhere for answers to life's problems, to find God. Swami came into my life when I was 13 years old, and by today's standards, that doesn't seem like much, but back then, nobody ever traveled to India from the United States. I came to realize what incredible grace this was back then, and I remember the first time my eyes laid upon Swami's beautiful form. It was in Vrindavan. He was giving darshan. Bhajans were being sung. I felt like I'd come home after a long, hard journey. India felt like home to me. It was then that Swami answered my question, why? Why were we here? To be in Sai's presence. That is why. I was fortunate to come to Sai at a young age and to have his counsel and guidance. Swami has played the role of mother, father, counselor, and friend. He has been my dearest friend throughout my life, and he has attended to all the smallest and the largest details in my life. And when I look back over the years, I am truly amazed at the guidance and infinite detail with which he has counseled my husband and myself. One of the most beautiful qualities that I have noticed about Sri Satya Sai Baba over the years is that his holy truth only becomes more true as the years pass by. When I was 19 years old, I remember wanting to go to India so badly, but I did not know how in the world a young girl like myself would ever have that chance. But I remember one day driving to work, I put my foot down on my car and I said, Swami, I cannot and I will not go on another day unless I can come to see you. I have waited long enough. I must come now. Well, that day, when I got home from work, the telephone rang. And on the other end, I heard, Rita, how would you like to go to India? It was Mrs. Elsie Cowan on the phone. And what an incredible first trip that was. I remember the day that I arrived home, my mother came to greet me at the airport, and she said, honey, tell me, who is Sai Baba, really? What is he like? I said, Mother, he is God. He is pure love. That was all she needed to hear from me. She booked her ticket immediately and was off to India. And some years later, when my mother, Frances Rees, contracted cancer, the doctors advised her the usual protocol, chemotherapy, radiation, followed by surgery, but she refused and came to see Swami instead. And when she arrived, Swami called her in for an interview. And she said, Swami, thank you for seeing me. And he blessed her life. And he told her at that time, cancer is canceled. I often think of all the little sweetnesses of Sai's grace that truly remind me of what the Bible calls his ever-present care. Nothing too small for his grace. And our first trip here to India in 1974, life wasn't always so easy, but Swami always took care of us. Every day, Mrs. Ratanlal would bring us lunch, and I'm sure we would have starved if she hadn't. And some years later, when I had the chance to thank her for her kindness, She took no credit for her hard work, and she humbly said that Swami had told her to bring us lunch every day. There was one particular day on that first trip that I remember vividly, and Julie Miles quoted the Bible to me, and she said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And at that moment, I remember looking outside our bungalow window, and I thought I saw Camille Svensson take a terrible fall. And I quickly ran outside to see if she was all right. And I was right. She had taken quite a fall at the Lord's feet. Swami had come to our room to talk to us. It was at this time Swami manifested a beautiful gold ring for me. And he told me, This is your first wedding gift. But it wasn't until another 3 years later that Swami told me who my husband-to-be was. He sent me home to inform Robert Danielli that Swami wanted us to marry. Swami told us to come back together, and he himself performed our marriage ceremony in Vrindavan, where Marsha Pako served as God's witness. When one considers how foreign this is to our Western culture and way of thinking, I am truly amazed to this day that no one, not even our parents, seem to question our arranged marriage. On the day of our wedding, Swami gifted us with one of the best pieces of advice that I have learned best fits any situation that confronts me. His advice: first understanding, then adjustment. Without understanding, there can be no adjustment. And with understanding, adjustment is automatic. This single piece of advice has helped to guide me through many stormy seas in my personal life and in my professional life. This profound truth has been as a mariner's compass to me, one that always points me to my true north. Swami was always infinitely interested in the Sri Satya Sai Baba Book Center of America, and Mr. and Mrs. Walter Cowan had the profound foresight to do something for our Lord. Elsie would always call our Lord honey, and I believe she was the only one who could get away with this term of endearment. She would always ask Swami, "Honey, what can we do for you?" To which Swami would always respond, "I only want your love." He always seemed pleased, and he made a real effort to call it the Sri Satya Sai Baba International Book Center of America. Swami himself sent Mr. and Mrs. Indala Shaw to the United States to help inaugurate the book center. They brought sand from Puttaparthi and poured it into its very foundation. He sent the very first Seva Dal scarves, those orange and yellow ones, to his devotees there, and he sent Vibhuti to all of his devotees. My husband and I have had the rare privilege to serve there all these years. Years ago, one day I was driving to work. I was teaching science, and I was driving along listening to my favorite album, Sai Baba Chants the Bhajans, where Swami sings on one side and Professor Kasturi translates that famous discourse from 1968 on the other. I was so happy listening to Swami sing Prema Mudita. God's grace is what saved me on that fateful day. I was driving my car through the intersection when all of a sudden an 18-wheel lumber truck with a full bed of lumber lost his brakes. He ran a red light. He hit me head on, and he hit with such a force that he knocked my car into the intersection, spun it around where a Mercedes-Benz hit me from the other direction. The front end of my car was crushed up to the steering wheel, and the driver's door was crushed in upon me. There was not much left of that car. I was rushed to the emergency hospital with a concussion, where I received stitches to my head. I was lucky to be alive and in one piece. That was the week before Swami's 60th birthday celebration, and he had told my husband and I to attend and to come with Mrs. Cowan. When we arrived in Puttaparthi, Swami called us in immediately. My husband fell to his feet and he said, "Swami, thank you for saving my wife's life." Swami immediately turned to me, placed his divine hands on my head, and he said, yes, permanent protection. Swami's love and protection is, as the Bible tells us, an ever-present help. He told us, I am in you, I am beside you, I am around you. Why fear when I am here? Swami reminds us that he protects us, as he said, the eyelid protects the eye. Swami, thank you for being in my life. Swami, thank you for being my life. You are my mother, you are my father, you are my closest kin, you are my dearest friend, you are my wisdom, you are my treasure, you are my everything, you are my Lord, my loving Lord. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Rita Danielli. I was reminded during her talk by one of our respected elders that I didn't introduce myself as Robert Danielli. So please forgive me. Another time I'll tell you the story about my reaction when she came home. And we only knew each other through working at the book center, and that was it. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And she said, Swami told me to get married. I said, oh, how wonderful. To who? And she responded, to you. And that was my first experience of surrender. And I have to admit, it has been very, very sweet. Swami knows how to pick two peas in a pod that fit together. Thank you, Swami. Thank you. At this time, I would like to introduce the respected Tom Healy. Tom had his first experience of Swami in 1986. And in the 1990s, he joined the Sai organization in Australia and took responsible positions in the center, later on the region, later on the nation, and in the international, where he was always taking positions of responsibility and adding and serving the organization. Tom received his engineering construction degree in 1983. Upon completion, he joined the prestigious Malsavat Conservatory School of Arts. And for 2 years, he was there studying goldsmithing, bronze sculptural design. And upon completion, he started his own engineering construction company in Adelaide, which he owns and operates. Tom has been a member of the International Christmas Committee for over 10 years, and we enjoy the fruits of the committee's efforts. When you think of a committee, you think of a bunch of people sitting around a table discussing things that never occur. But this Christmas committee, I'll tell you, you have to have some specific characteristics and strengths to be a member of that committee. You have to be able to endure sleepless nights and work many, many hours a day. You have to have strong legs because you're running about all the time. A good strong back is always a nice thing to have as well. You're constantly moving charts and posters, carrying things, chasing people down. But what happens is, look at what we have from a member like Tom and the other members and all the volunteers that pitch in to help at Christmas time. A beautiful setting, a wonderful atmosphere, and a great deal of love that flows between brothers and sisters from all lands. It is my pleasure at this time to introduce the respected Tom Healy.
Dearest Swami, may I humbly offer these words and this work to your divine lotus feet. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, and our dear children, I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to all of you. As one family, so many different personalities, so many different backgrounds, but we are one family. Swami came in my dream and he said to me, I will teach you to play the guitar. And I said to him, but Swami, I already know how to play the guitar. And then he showed me the guitar. And it had many more strings than I'd ever seen. So when I went to play it, I had no idea what to do. As one big family, we are like a finely tuned musical instrument. Each one of us is a different string. And he will play the song of life through us. Because he said, I have separated myself from myself so that I may love myself. And so he has proved in that statement that we are one family in him. Jesus said, those who help their brothers with no reward in mind are verily helping me. And Swami said, service to man is service to God. But Swami goes on to say that participation in selfless service is the reward itself. We were sitting around Swami's feet in an interview and we were asking for various things. Swami got up from his chair and he said, why take that? And he put his arms out and he said, take me. Then he sat down again. So we moved closer, and as we went to touch his feet, he said, no, no, not the physical. Swami did not go on to explain what he meant, nor did he give us the foresight to ask at the time. But the equation is very simple. We are all familiar with the idea, when we serve another, we're serving Swami. But when we make the effort to see Swami in the other person, then the chemistry changes. And we make a connection, which is a God-to-God connection. And we experience God's love. This is what Swami said to us back then. Take me, but not the physical. If we take his form and imagine that in the other person, or even say an instant prayer to recognize him there, it generates love. Our mind is so powerful. When we put love into it, it generates even more love. And the experience that we have is like what Jesus said, the peace that passes understanding. I'd like to tell an Australian story which has elements of what we can see all around us in the hall. The blue tinsel you see on all the fences represents the sea. The pillars are the eucalyptus trees of Australia. The backdrops behind us are the Australian outback. And down the driveway here is the Milky Way, but as seen from the southern hemisphere. More than 30 years ago, an object materialized in my house, and it landed on my lap. There was no noise, no light, it just happened. That object was a stone pendant. I wore it for some time until I had a very inspirational dream. And in that dream, I was told at some point I would have to deposit it in a particular place, but there was no time frame given. Some years later, I went to work in parts of northern Australia, in very remote areas. After completing the first amount of work, I was travelling through the desert in a 4x4 Jeep. When my foot was badly injured, I had a large cut and I was unable to walk properly, and there was no help available. So I prayed to God. Jesus was the only form of God I knew. I made a camp and I rested for 2 days. After that, I was able to drive with my foot elevated. So I drove for another 2 days and I reached a place by the name of the Bungle Bungles, which is a sacred Aboriginal area in the far north of Western Australia. I made camp there and I slept under the stars. When I awoke, the only thing on my mind was the stone pendant. I was still wearing it. And I knew this was the place that I had to leave it. So I painstakingly climbed the cliffs there, put the pendant into a small cave. And as soon as that happened, all the pain in my leg had gone and the wound on my foot healed. I felt like I was walking on air, like I was being carried. I then drove to the next destination and completed the work there. Then I headed south, down through the desert, on a 3,000-kilometre journey to Perth. About halfway there, I reached the coast and I stopped to set up camp for another 2 or 3 days. But the wind was so strong that I couldn't sleep. So at daybreak, I decided to pack up. I tried for almost an hour to fold up the canvas of the tent, but it was not possible. A job that should have taken 5 minutes. And I became so frustrated that I started yelling and screaming at God and the wind. And in that moment, I asked, and I was on my knees in tears, I asked, why was I here? What was it all about? And the wind suddenly stopped. I felt very humiliated, and I finished packing the tent, got in the jeep, and I drove off. The next destination was a place by the name of Monkey Maya. There was actually a place by that name, Monkey Maya. And it's further down the coast, and the word means a haven for dolphins. It's a very remote bay, and it has rare aquatic life, and the dolphins there are tame. I arrived at the reserve, and I had to pay a fee at the ranger station. When I did that, the ranger said to me, "Have you ever been to India?" And I bluntly said no, and I drove through and set up my camp. Early the next morning, a man appeared in my dream with bushy hair and matted locks. He held a trident in one hand, and the other hand was held up with his palm outwards. I woke up with a very peaceful feeling. I had seen a sticker on a car in the car park there that evening, the evening before. So I went back to have a look, and it was the same man in the sticker I saw on the car, but without the matted locks. As it turned out, that car belonged to the ranger who had asked me if I had ever been to India. He explained to me who he was, but I was not satisfied. 2 days later, the same man appeared in my dream again. This time, he was standing at the water's edge, and he turned into a great big dolphin. And I turned into a baby one, and he dived into the water, and I followed him, and we swam across the sea together. When I woke, that same peaceful feeling was there. But when I got up, I noticed there was ash, grey ash, all over my arms and my body. I could not understand that, so I tried to brush it all off, and it wouldn't come off. So I went down to the sea, down to the beach, to wash it off. As I was standing there, I realized I was in the same place where the dream had occurred. And out of the blue, someone approached me, and they said, "Did you know that a mother dolphin will never leave a baby dolphin alone, no matter what happens?" It was such a thrilling moment. My mind stood still. And for the first time, I experienced that peace that Jesus talked about. The peace that passes understanding. So I went back to the ranger. This time I listened to the ranger. I wanted to find out a lot more. Within 3 weeks, I was in India, and I arrived at the Whitefield Ashram. I walked through the front gates, and there was nobody there except the gatekeeper. Then all of a sudden, Sai Baba came out of his house on the other side of the compound. He put up his hand. So I put my hand up and waved back. I didn't know what to do. Then he turned and walked back in. I had come as a spiritual aspirant seeking the truth, and he had received me. There are many things that remain a mystery, and trying to understand Swami is one of those. But as he says, if we turn the lens inwards, then while on that journey, all other questions become insignificant. The life of Jesus was an example of this. He was an inspiration beyond comparison. People say that Jesus died on the cross to redeem the sins of mankind, that he suffered for the sake of mankind. But Swami said that he did not suffer, and in fact he did not feel any pain. He said that Jesus realized he was the Christ in his 25th year. For 8 years following his 16th birthday, he traveled India, Tibet, Iran, and Russia. We have focused on the birth and the death of Jesus, which are extraordinary events. But for me, it's nice to think and reflect about the actual life of Jesus and the journey he took to self-realization. Dear Swami, please grant all of us the wisdom and the love that was given to Jesus by you. Jai Sairam.
Embodiments of love.
Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat satyam apriyam. Satyam bruyat, naitika jivitam.
Speaking truth relates to the moral life.
Priyam bruyat, idi dharmikam.
Speaking truth in an acceptable way is dharmic, righteous.
Na brujat satyam apriyam, idi adhyatmikam.
Never speak untruth, that is spiritual.
Naitika, dharmika, adhyatmikamul yokka moodinti samilitamaina swarupame manavudu.
Man is the combination of these three: morality, righteousness, and spirituality.
Satyamundi dharmam lekundina manavudu kadu.
With truth and righteousness missing, he is no human.
Dharmamundi satyam lekundina manavudu kadu.
With righteousness and truth being absent, he is no man.
Naitika, dharmika, adhyatmikam moodinti yokka swarupame manavudu.
So man represents the trinity, the combination of the three: morality, righteousness, and spirituality.
Alaluni samudramu chudalemu.
You cannot find an ocean without waves.
Kiranamulleni suryunni kaanchalemu.
You cannot see the sun without rays.
Alaluni samudramu samudram kaadu.
It's no sea if there are no waves.
Kiranamulu leni suryudu suryudu kaadu.
Sun without rays doesn't exist.
Prema leni manavudu manavudu kaadu.
He's no human if he has no love.
Ee naati kala paristhitini prabhavamunu gurinchi, desham yokka paristhitulanu gurinchi prati manavudu kudanu vicharam cheyali.
Everyone must necessarily investigate the times we pass through and the place where we are located.
Kevalam swarthamu swapriyojan nimittamai jeevincharadu.
We should not live merely for selfishness and self-interest.
Manavudu vyashti swaroopudu kaadu.
Man is not an individual alone.
Samashti swaroopudu.
He is a member of the society.
Ee samashti swaroopamu srishtito manam koodaachali.
And this feeling of a society relates to the creation.
Vyakti kante manava jeevitamu chala pradhanamainatundi.
Human life is more important than being simply an individual.
Parameshti, srishti, samasti, vyashti, ee naligintu yokka sammilita swaroopame ee prakruti.
Prakruti, the nature, is the combination of parameshti, divinity, srishti, the creation, samasti, the community.
వ్యష్టి అయినటువంటి మానవుడు సమష్టితో చేరి సృష్టి యందు పరమేష్ఠిని పొందడానికి తగిన ప్రయత్నం చేయాలి.
Just the individual living in samishti community, carrying on in this life, srishti the creation, should realize Parameshti divinity.
Jesus kuda cheppadu.
The same thing is stated by Jesus.
Vyashti aneetunti vaadu samashtito lekundina tana yokka jeevitame vyartham annadu.
He said the individual life is a waste if he does not realize the community obligation.
Unity unna chotane ప్యూరిటీ ఏర్పడుతుంది.
వేర్ దర్స్ యూనిటీ యూ ఫైండ్ ప్యూరిటీ.
ఎక్కడ ప్యూరిటీ ఉండనో అక్కడ నీ డివినిటీ చేరుతుంది.
వేర్ దర్స్ ప్యూరిటీ యూ ఫైండ్ డివినిటీ స్టెప్.
ఎక్కడ డివినిటీ ఉండనో అక్కడే దివ్యత్వం ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
వేర్ దర్స్ డివినిటీ ఇట్ కమ్స్ టు యువర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్.
కనుకనే యూనిటీ, ప్యూరిటీ, డివినిటీ దివ్యత్వానికి మూల కారణమని భావించాలి ఈనాటి ప్రజలు.
People should know today that these three are essential: unity, purity, and divinity.
Vedantam nandu chakkaga vicharana chesina manavuni yandu moodu vidhamainatundi aakashamlu unnavi.
If you inquire along spiritual parlance, you find three levels of space in man.
కానీ ఈ ఆకాశముల యొక్క స్వరూపం ఏమిటి అని విచారణ చేసినప్పుడు ఎంతైనా మనకు అర్థమవుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యు అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ద త్రీ లెవెల్స్ యు కెన్ నో మెనీ.
ఈ అరబిక్ రాజులు ముగ్గురు చేరి జీసస్ పుట్టినప్పుడు అతన్ని దర్శించడానికి వచ్చారు.
ది అరేబియన్ కింగ్స్ యు ఫైండ్ దెం హియర్ హూ విజిటెడ్ జీసస్ ఎట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బర్త్.
ఒకరు చెప్పారు, ది వన్ యూ థింక్ యు ఆర్ అన్నాడు. ఇతను కేవలము ఒక దివ్యత్వమైన మానవుడిగా కనిపిస్తున్నాడు అన్నాడు.
వన్ సెడ్ ది వన్ యూ థింక్ యు ఆర్ హీ లుక్స్ డివైన్ దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్.
రెండో వాడు వన్ ది అదర్స్ థింక్ యు ఆర్ అన్నాడు.
ద సెకండ్ కింగ్ సెడ్ ద వన్ అదర్స్ థింక్ యు ఆర్
అనగా ఇది సొసైటీతో కూడినటువంటి ఒక తత్వము.
ఇట్ ఇస్ వన్
ఇది వ్యక్తిత్వమే కాదు సమష్టి స్వరూపము అన్నాడు.
ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎట్ ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ ఇట్స్ ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ ద కమ్యూనిటీ సొసైటీ.
మూడవ రాజా ది వన్ యు రియలీ ఆర్ అని ప్రబోధించాడు.
ద థర్డ్ కింగ్ టాట్ ద వన్ యు రియలీ ఆర్
ఇతనే దివ్యత్వంతో కూడినటువంటి వాడు అన్నాడు.
హీ ఇస్ ఎసెన్షియల్లీ డివైన్.
మానవుని యొక్క మెదడు, మానవ యొక్క శిరస్సులు భిన్న భిన్నంగా ఉండటం చేత ఆలోచనలు కూడా భిన్న భిన్నంగా ఏర్పడుతుంటాయి.
As we are different, as our heads vary, so also our thoughts.
కనుక ఈ భిన్న భిన్నమైనటువంటి భావములకు మనం ఏమాత్రము అవకాశం ఇవ్వకూడదు.
We should not have any kind of differences.
అందులో ఈనాటి కలియుగ ప్రభావం చేత మానవుడు భిన్నత్వాన్ని ఆశిస్తున్నాడు కానీ ఏకత్వాన్ని ఏమాత్రము రుచించటం లేదు.
As an effect of Kali age, man goes after multiplicity, forgetting unity.
ఏకత్వాన్ని భిన్నత్వంగా విభజిస్తున్నాడు.
In fact, he fragments the unity.
కానీ ప్రాచీనులు భిన్నత్వాన్ని ఏకంగా విశ్వసించారు.
But ancients had full faith in unity existing in diversity.
జీసస్ కూడా అందరికీ అదే చెప్పాడు.
సేమ్ థింగ్ ఇస్ స్టేటెడ్ బై జీసస్.
ప్రజలారా, ఎందుకు ఈ ద్వేషము?
వై హేట్రెడ్?
ఎందుకు ఈ అల్లకల్లోలములు?
వై అజిటేషన్?
కరుణ చేత సర్వులను ప్రేమించండి.
విత్ ఆల్ కైండ్నెస్ యు కెన్ అప్రోచ్.
అందరినీ ప్రేమించండి.
లవ్ ఆల్.
అందరినీ ఆశించండి.
అండ్ సర్వ్ ఆల్.
ఈ అనేకత్వంలో ఉన్నటువంటి ఏకత్వాన్ని మీరు విశ్వసించండి.
హావ్ ఫుల్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ
అని జీసస్ కూడా చెప్పాడు.
దట్ వాస్ ద టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ జీసస్.
ఆయనకు బోధలు ప్రత్యేకమైనటువంటి ఏవీ లేవు.
అండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ లైక్ సెపరేట్ టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్.
అనేక మంది శిష్యులు వారి వారి తోచినట్టుగా రాస్తూ పోయారు.
Many disciples started writing in their own way as per their whims and
thoughts. అతని శరీరాన్ని చిలుకు వేసినప్పుడు ఆల్ ఆర్ వన్ మై డియర్ సన్ బి అలైక్ టు ఎవరీ వన్ అనింది.
ఆన్ ద క్రాస్ జీసస్ సెడ్ ఆల్ ఆర్ వన్ మై డియర్ సన్ బి అలైక్ టు ఎవరీ వన్.
ఏమిటిది తల్లి ఏడుస్తుంటే మేరీ, డెత్ ఇస్ ది డ్రెస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ అన్నాడు.
వైల్ ద వెరీ మదర్ ఫిజికల్ మదర్ వాస్ క్రైయింగ్ హీ సెడ్ డెత్ ఇస్ ది డ్రెస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్.
ఏమిటిది డెత్ అనేటువంటిది ఈ డ్రెస్ మార్చడమే.
డెత్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ లైక్ చేంజింగ్ ఆఫ్ డ్రెస్.
ఈ డ్రెస్ మారుతుండది ఇంకొక డ్రెస్ వస్తుండది.
వెన్ యూ చేంజ్ ది డ్రెస్ యూ విల్ హావ్ అనదర్.
మానవుడు ఎప్పటికీ ఒకే డ్రెస్ లో ఉంటాడా?
నో వన్ విల్ వేర్ ద సేమ్ డ్రెస్.
దినదినము డ్రెస్ మారుస్తుంటాడు.
హి చేంజెస్ హిస్ డ్రెస్ ఎవ్రీ.
అదే విధంగానే ఈ దేహములు అనేక జన్మములు మారుతుంటాయి.
లైక్ వైజ్ వి చేంజ్ అవర్ బాడీస్.
కాబట్టి ఇది మారినంత మాత్రమే ఇది డెత్ అని అనకూడదు.
బికాజ్ ఇట్ చేంజెస్ యూ కెనాట్ కాల్ ఇట్ డెత్.
ఇది కేవలం దేహములకు మాత్రమే సంబంధించినటువంటిది.
ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ ఫిజికల్ డిస్. disappearance.
జీవతత్వం ఎప్పటికీ శాశ్వతంగానే ఉంటుంది.
But the spirit atma is eternal.
అదే అమృతత్వము.
That is immortality.
అదే అనృతత్వము.
That is nirvana.
అదే ఆనందము.
That is bliss.
ఆ ఆనందమే నిత్యానందం పరమసుఖం అన్నారు.
And that eternal bliss confers you
supreme. కానీ దీనిని జీసస్ అద్వైత దర్శనం జ్ఞానం అన్నాడు.
జీసస్ సేడ్ ది ఎక్స్‌పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ నాన్ డ్యువలిజం ఇస్ విజ్డమ్.
కనుక అద్వైత దర్శనం అనగా ఏమిటి?
వాట్ డు యు మీన్ బై దట్?
రెండు కాని ఒకటే.
ఇట్స్ నాట్ టు, ఓన్లీ వన్ యు షుడ్ ఎక్స్‌పీరియన్స్ ఇట్.
ఒకటే అంటే రెండుగా ఉండవచ్చును.
If you say one, it might be two.
కనుకనే ఏకం ఏవ అద్వితీయం బ్రహ్మ అన్నాడు.
సో బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్, నాట్ టు, ఓన్లీ వన్.
రెండుగా ఉన్నదంటే ఇంకా ఏమైనా ఉండవచ్చునని చెప్పవచ్చును. కానీ ఏకం ఏవ అద్వితీయం, ఒకటే ఒకటి, రెండుది కానటువంటిది.
When it is, when you say dual, it may be even multiplicity. It is
దైవము రెండు కానటువంటి ఒక్కటే.
God is only one and not two.
ఇవంతకుడు ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి భావం చేత,
because the worldly feeling,
ప్రవృత్తులైన తత్వముల చేత,
because of outer ways,
ఇన్ని రూపములు ఇన్ని నామములు భావిస్తున్నారు.
We go by the names and forms.
కానీ నిజంగా యోచిస్తే,
truly speaking,
ఒక్కటే దైవము, ఒక్కటే రూపము, ఒక్కటే నామము.
God is one with one name and one form.
ఏక ప్రభువుకు అనేక నామని పాటలు కూడా చెప్తున్నారు.
We also sing the glory of God as having many names.
దేహాలు వేరువేరుగా మారవచ్చును.
Bodies may change.
కాబట్టి దేహభ్రాంతిని మీరు పెట్టుకోకూడదు.
Don't have body intent.
ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని విశ్వసించు.
Have full faith in yourself.
ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని ఆనందంగా తీసుకో.
Be happy with yourself.
ఇది ఏ ముఖ్యంగా జీసస్ బోధించిన.
This is the main teaching of Jesus.
Bhajan bina sukha shanti nahi. Hari bhajan bina sukha shanti nahi. Hari naam bina aanand nahi. హరి భజన బినా సుఖ శాంతి నహి. జప జ్ఞాన బినా తన్ యోగ నహి. జప
Krishna tum ho, Jai Ram, Jai Ram.
Thank you.
Shiva ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ ഹൈ ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ ഹേ ശിവശങ്കര നമാമി ശങ്കര ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ ഗിരിജാപതി ഭവാനി ശങ്കര ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ സായി ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ സായി ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ ശിവശങ്കര നമാമി ശങ്കര ശിവശങ്കര ശംഭോ
മധുവന സഞ്ചാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി മധുവന സഞ്ചാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി മധുസൂദന മുരളീധാരി ശ്രീ മധുസൂദന മുരളീധാരി മധുവന സഞ്ചാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി മാധവ മോഹന മയൂര മുകുടധര മാധവ മോഹന മയൂര മുകുടധര മധുരാനാഥ പ്രഭു ഗിരിധാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി ശ്രീ മധുസൂദന മുരളീധാരി മധുവന സഞ്ചാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി മാധവ മോഹന മയൂര മുകുടധര സഞ്ചാരി ശ്യാമ മുരാരി
ഓം ശ്രീരാം ജയ രാം ജയ ജയ രാം
ഓം ശ്രീരാം ജയ രാം ജയ ജയ രാം
ഓം ശ്രീരാം ജയ രാം ജയ ജയ
Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam.
Govinda jai jai 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 राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु जी बोलो सत्यनाम 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 जी बोलो ओम जय जगदीश हरे स्वामी सत्य साई हरे भक्त जना संरक्षक भक्त जना संरक्षक प्रति महेश्वरा ओम जय जगदीश हरे शिवदनाई करा सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पल टीका आश्रित कल्पल टीका अपद्वादवा ओम जय जगदीश हरे माता पिता गुरु दैवम जगन्नाथ नगेन्द्र शयना ओम जय जगदीश हरे ओंकार रूप जय श्री साई महादेवा सत्य साई महादेवा मंगल आरती अंदुको मंगल आरती अंदुको मंगल गिरारे ओम जय जगदीश हरे नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम सत्य नारायण नारायण ओम ओम जय सद्गुरुदेवा
सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोकाः सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोकाः सुखिनो भवन्तु
साई बाबा जी की जय